I'm a former student of Mission College School of Evangelism. My wife and I attended there early last year. I've held an elder's position at our church back home in Michigan for several years. And as the Lord moved on our hearts, as we see prophecy being fulfilled, we wanted to do more for the Lord. So we prayed for training. He opened that up, and here we are. And by God's grace, He has extended our stay. It looks like we'll be here for most of this year, too. I start a pastoral training course here in a couple weeks, and I'm looking forward to that. So meanwhile, we'll continue to do Bible work and minister to precious souls that are longing and wistfully looking towards heaven. I thank the special music. That was beautiful. That was a wonderful violin song. Where did she go? Okay. Well, that was beautiful. I invite you, please, to bow your head. I want to kneel down again and ask for the Lord's blessing. Loving Father, as we begin the service today, we want to hear your voice through each one of our hearts personally, as well as a church body. So I ask that your Holy Spirit will come down and enlighten our minds as we open these pages, as we follow this story in Scripture and this particular person and take note of their life. Father, please change us today. Do something special in our heart that when we leave, we don't leave the way we've come. In Jesus' name, amen. I had just visited a church and we had just finished fellowship meal. And it was a nice body of believers. There's about, 40, 45 believers there worshiping together. And after the fellowship meal, I noticed that they started putting away the chairs and they started lining up the tables. And they started getting out boxes of different snack items and books and cards and so forth. And they began an assembly line. And while they're doing all of that, I noticed the back door open and visitors were coming, neighbors and friends of the church members and family members that weren't members that were coming to be a part of this prison ministry program. And they made an assembly line and they began to put all the packages together, and it went very well. They put together about 1,500 packages that year for about 6 or 7 different county jails. And God did a wonderful work, because the following year when we went down and met with the gentleman that was running the program, Lemuel Vega, the size of everything increased. Now there weren't 1,500, now there was more than 3,000 and about 16 county jails that were open to the prison ministry program. God was blessing the work. And the church members all came together again, and it was a wonderful thing. What do you know? What do you think happened the following year? God's about multiplying. You know, we did the following year, it was over 12,000. Now, not only were the county jails opening up in the state of Indiana, now the state prisons were opening up. And a state prison will hold anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000 inmates. So you get a couple of those going, and wow, it's just increasing in number. Well, something really heartbreaking took place. You know, the Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing, right? Well, the members got a little weary. They thought, wow, this is growing. We're afraid what's going to happen the following year. Well, the following year, what do you think happened? It increased again, and I think we did over 40,000 that year. Amazing what God was doing. But the members said, you know, maybe this needs to be done somewhere else. Oh, the heartbreak that took place that day. But Lemuel was not discouraged. God opened a way. Somebody donated a warehouse, and the program continued. But what happened to that church? What does the Bible say? Where there is no vision, my people what?
Perish.
They no longer had a mission. And over time, as I went back and visited with that church, and I spoke there from time to time, I noticed that their congregation was shrinking. First, the youth were gone. There was no mission, no vision. Later, the members started dwindling down to a small body of believers. And I knew that if something didn't happen soon, this church would close its doors. But one thing I do know, friends, if you're willing, God is willing to use you. And today I want to look at someone in the gospel, someone that's always kind of working behind the scenes, who's quite ordinary, somebody quite common, and we'll call him, his name is Andrew. We'll call him Andrew the Ordinary, okay? Andrew the Ordinary. Now, three things we want to learn from Andrew today, three things his life teaches us is, one, God uses ordinary people. Two, God uses ordinary methods, and he uses ordinary moments. Now, please turn with me to John chapter 1. And let's look at a little bit of Andrew's life. John chapter 1. Andrew was actually a disciple of John the Baptist. And as John the Baptist one day had pointed out to them, "Behold the Lamb of God," Andrew and another person began to follow Jesus and asked him, Jesus, where do you stay? And he said, "Come and see." And he followed them. And Andrew spent a whole day with Jesus. Could you imagine spending a whole day with Jesus? Spent a whole day with him. And it had an impact on his life. Verse 40. Andrew says this. This is what it says. John chapter 1, verse 40. "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother." Now that's interesting how the Bible describes him as Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother. Have you ever been known by so-and-so's sister or so-and-so's brother? They don't know your name, really. They don't know much about you, but they know everything about your brother or sister. You ever stand there and somebody comes up and starts talking to your spouse and it's like, you're like invisible to them. You ever have that happen to you? Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now, the interesting thing about Andrew is, you know, he didn't write any books in the Bible like John and Paul and Peter himself. There's no record of him doing any miracle. There's no indication he healed anybody or raised anybody from the dead or preached any great sermons or went on any mission trips. There's no record of him raising up a church. But there's one thing we constantly see Andrew doing throughout the scriptures is always bringing somebody to Christ. Look what he says here in verse 41. "He first finds his own brother Simon and said unto him, 'We have found the Messiah.'" As he sat there and listened to John the Baptist give the discourse on prophecy and pointed out, "Behold the Lamb of God," he knew this was the Messiah. As he sat at his feet for a whole day, he knew this was the Christ that the prophecies pointed to. And he was excited. And he went and got his brother and he says, "Come on, we have found him." And he brought him to Jesus. You know, we know Peter did something wonderful for the Lord, didn't he? He preached a sermon on Pentecost and 3,000 people were baptized. You can read about him in the book of Acts. He's healing people. He's raising people from the dead. He establishes a church. He writes two wonderful epistles in the Bible for us today. So Peter did some great things for the Lord, didn't he? What happens if Andrew never brought Peter? You know, friends, you may not do something great. You may not preach a sermon at 3,000 are baptized. You may not raise up a church or go on some great mission trip, but the person you lead to Christ, that very person, you will be a link in that chain that will change the world. Do you believe that? Amen. You may be ordinary and you may be common, but God has a mission for you today. It was a small group of people that walked into a county jail years ago to sow the seeds of love into some people's hearts that had been forgotten. And there was a young man there sitting in the back of his cell. He is about 18 years old, facing 10 to 20 years. And he listened intently. He didn't go up to the front of the jail cell to meet the people and see them, but he just stayed in the back. And the Lord was moving on his heart. And as these people sang wonderful hymns, as they shared the love of Christ, it began to do something to him. and a tear began to form and run down his cheek. And he remembered, I remember hearing him tell me, he said, that day I said, Lord, if you could ever use me, I'm willing. Years and years went by. I think about 15 years before he finally gave his life to Christ. He already went to prison. He came out of prison, went back to the old lifestyle. But the Lord was moving. Those seeds that were sown were being watered and began to germinate and spring up fruit. His name is Lemuel Vega. How many of you have heard Christmas Behind Bars, prison ministry program? Anybody? A few of you. I see your hands go up. It's televised on 3ABN. I think every Sunday they have a program. You know, this guy took, and just from one county jail, one at a time, the Lord began to use him to reach out to people. I met him about 10 years ago. I've been helping him with that program. I talked to him the other day. The state of Virginia just called him, somebody high up in the state, in the prison system, and said, hey, Lemuel, how about you come back to our state and go to every prison in the state? That's 30,000 inmates. That's one stop for Christmas Behind Bars this year, just one. You know, I think it's probably the largest prison ministry right now in the history of the Adventist Church. What the Lord will do for one person that will truly give their life to Christ. But had those people not gone, Lemuel Vega wouldn't be here doing that today. You see the importance of that? God will use common, ordinary people to do wonderful things for him. Look at it. I like how Paul says it. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 26. And it reads this, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how none wise and none after the flesh and none mighty and none noble are called. Is that what it says? What's it say? Not many, right? Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. He goes on to say, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things that are despised has God chosen, yea, and the things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Why? That no flesh, no man or woman can glory in his sight. Why? Because Christ that is in them God has made unto them wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. It does not say God doesn't call the wise or those that are mighty. He just says not many. You see, God is looking for people that will give him the glory, to give him the honor, because it is him that is in you that is doing that work for his kingdom. So the Spirit of God is moving today. There was a woman in Mongolia. She started doing Bible studies in her village. The Holy Spirit was moving on her heart. And her group grew, 5 people, 10 people, 30 people. She had up to 60 people coming to her house for Bible studies. And the local authorities were disturbed, and they came to her house and they told her, look, you need to stop, or you're going to go to jail. And you know what? It's interesting what happens when persecution comes sometimes. Her Bible study group shrank real fast. They got scared, but she did not. She was not going to give up her faith. She stood strong and she continued to study. And what do you think happened? They came and got her. They gave her a 1-year prison sentence. 1 year. But do you think that discouraged her? Do you think she stopped there? No, she continued to sing hymns, and that drew people to her. She began to study the Bible. She knew the plan of salvation. She committed it to memory, and she began to win people to Christ in that prison cell. After 6 months, the authorities came, and they got her, and they took her to a room. And what do you think they did to her? You think they beat her? No, you know what they told her? look, we're going to let you go. Your time served. And she said, you can't do that. I'm not done. I still have 6 more months. And they said to her, lady, if we keep you for a whole year, you'll convert the whole prison. You need to go. She was diligent in sharing her faith. I'll tell you about a young man. Well, he's not so young anymore, but he was young when he went to prison, federal prison. His name is Chuck Gibson. Now, I met Chuck in a federal prison, and we had done some Bible studies together, and he didn't like me too much, talking to him about Jesus, but I did not stop. And after a little while, he began to ask questions, and not long, he gave his life to Christ. And today, he's got a ministry in that facility, and he makes these cards. It's kind of interesting. He makes these cards like this, birthday cards. You see that? And he'll put things inside, and sometimes he'll put a Bible verse in there. And he'll do this for hospice patients. He's got his own ministry right there in his federal prison. Interesting thing. Chuck is a paraplegic, and his right arm is paralyzed. But he doesn't let that limit him. He's got a third grade education, and he's sharing what he can. He told me the other day, he said, Dennis, I'm getting ready to have a Bible study with some guys on the Sabbath. Please pray for me. What an awesome opportunity he's been given, and he's answering that call. I want to tell you about a woman here in the local area. She's recently passed, Barbara May. How many knew Barbara? You know, when Barbara called my wife and I, and she said, I want to talk with you. And we went to her house, and she was dying from terminal cancer, and she had her bed out in the living room. And she says, I need you to do Bible studies with my caregivers. I have one here that wants to study the Bible. And we began studying with Bridget, and Bridget didn't come alone. She brought her husband, she brought her father-in-law, and then shortly after that, she brought her mother and her aunt, and now she's brought her son. Shortly after that, Barbara called us again and said, you know, I have another person here I want you to study with. So we went, we met another caregiver. Her name is Jennifer, and we began studying the Bible with her. Not long after that, she said, I have another one here. Witnessing day after day to these caregivers. And now we're studying with Angie. Well, one morning, we had got the call that Barbara wasn't doing well, and we wanted to know, do you still want us to do Bible studies there? And she said, yes, still come. And it was a Thursday. We'd always study on Thursday. We went over there, and the caregiver that morning, she told him, she said, get me ready for Bible study. At this time, she couldn't eat anymore. She couldn't drink any water, and they gave her about 2 weeks. She said, no, get me ready for Bible study. Get my hair done, get my face washed, swab out my mouth so I can talk. I want to be ready. And we went, and she was having a lot of nausea, and they gave her something for it, and she took a nap. Well, Barbara didn't wake up. But when she does wake up, she's going to wake up to the greatest Bible study of her life. What do you say? These people that are physical limitations, mental limitations, God is using them to do the work. Today, the Holy Spirit is moving on lay people to hand out literature, lay people to start small groups, lay people to do things extraordinary for him, just being regular, common people. You know, people that will give him the glory and give him the praise. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1, friends. Let's see what Jesus says, his few words just before he departs. Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 8. He's promising them something here. Jesus says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be church members unto me, and both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Is that what it says? Witnesses. That's right. Not church members. He's looking for people not just to come to church and warm the pew. Friends, he's looking for people that will be witnesses for him here in Roseburg, in your neighborhood, and outward throughout the world. Today, God is calling us, a people that he has raised up. What a privilege and honor we have to be a part of the last day message, to give a peculiar message to the world to prepare them for the second coming of Christ. What do you say? Are you for it? Amen. You know, you have a ministry in your office. Did you know that? Whether you're a doctor, you're a nurse. If you're a mechanic, you have a ministry in your garage. If you just like baking bread, you got a ministry in your neighborhood. If you like making cookies, you got a ministry in your neighborhood. Maybe you like to knit, you have a ministry to carry out in the knitting club. When people accept Christ, he gives them a mission. And today, he has something for each and every one of us. You know, we have the DVDs, we got CDs, we got the radio, we got the TV, we got the printed page. We have so much. But if all we're going to do is sit at home and watch 3ABN, that ain't going to win anybody to Christ, friends. If we're not inviting somebody over, it's not going to make a difference. Today, God's best method, the same method he's always used, is taking a person, an individual person, and use that person to witness to another person. He's got a plan for you. Please, let's look at something else here. John, let's go back to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. So God uses ordinary people. And we'll see he uses ordinary methods, friends. John chapter 6. Jesus is preaching. There's a multitude of people here. There's different peoples in the crowd. There's Sadducees, there's Pharisees. There's young, there's old, there's sick, there's healthy. There's the shepherds, there's the doctors, there's the lawyers. And he sees this multitude, this vast multitude before him. And he says to Philip, he says, Philip, you know, where can we get enough bread to feed all these people? And Philip's taken back. He's like, you know, Lord, 200 pennyworth isn't enough to feed all these people. But look what it says here in verse 8, John 6, verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, there he is again, living in the shadow of Peter. You know, maybe he couldn't run as fast as Peter. Maybe he couldn't swim as fast. Maybe he wasn't very outspoken. But what we see him doing is, here he is. He finds this little boy that has a couple loaves and a few fish, and he brings him to Jesus. You know what, friends? A little in the hands of Jesus is much. What do you have? What do you have? Bring that to Christ. What talent do you have? Bring it to Christ. He can use it. He can multiply it. And you will experience a joy that's beyond your understanding. I would say today, how many here are over retirement age? Let me see your hands. Over retirement age. All right. Amen. Do you know what? I believe God's going to use old people to finish the work. Yeah. You know what? Hey, we have inspiration here to tell us that. God's going to use old people to finish the work. Where's the proof? Hey, how old was Moses when he was called into the ministry? 80. How many are over 80? Well, God, amen. God's not done with you yet. Now, let me ask you, how old was Daniel when he had his second primary vision? Okay, we know he was about 17 when he went into captivity. He was in captivity for 70 years. He's now in the Medo-Persian Empire time. He's maybe in his late 80s. How many in their late 80s? Nobody. One. Couple. We got a couple. All right, praise the Lord. God's not done with you yet. How old was John the Revelator when he wrote Revelation on Patmos? Huh? In his 90s. Anybody in their 90s? Amen. See, you guys thought you were going to retire in your rocking chair, didn't you? Oh, no. God has work for you to do. I'll tell you what. A few months ago, well, it was last summer, I was speaking at a church, and I shared this particular sermon right here. And just before I spoke, an elderly man, he made his way up front, and he's walking real slow. Oh, he barely made it. Turned around, and he began to say something, and the elder gave him the mic because nobody could hear him. His name was Jasper, and he was making an announcement. He says, I'm getting ready to do a mass mailing. of steps to Christ. And he said, when I get response, I need somebody to go with me to these homes. He didn't say if. He had faith in God. When I get response. After the service, I went back and I got to meet Jasper and I started talking to him. And I said, Jasper, how old are you? He said, I'm 93. And with a tear in his eye, he started telling me, I just had a stroke 2 weeks ago. But I want to serve the Lord. I want to yet do something for him. Amazing. A couple months back, spoke at Canyonville Church. And after the service, an elderly lady came up to me and she said, sir, are you the one that gave the sermon today? And I said, yes, I am. She says, I can't see very well. She goes, but I've been passing out this book in the community. Every week I go and I pass this out. And I asked, what's your name? Mrs. Miller, I think it was. Anybody know Mrs. Miller? Yes. Wonderful lady. She said she can't see very well. She goes, but I have a problem. I said, what is it? She says, I can't seem to get a decision. She goes, I've gone through 3 cases of the great controversy. Every week she goes into town and she hands those out. And I said, that's okay. You know, the Lord will use you. And she says, I'm 103. Wow. Anybody over 100? Well, see, you can't say you're too old. God has something for you to do. 103. And she's concerned about not being able to gain a decision. And I said, that's okay, ma'am. You're doing a wonderful work for the Lord. You're sowing seeds. Somebody else will come in and they'll reap that. And you're part of that. And you're going to have stars in your crown. And she said, well, the other day I did offer a lady a book and she said she had her own church. And then I asked her, do you believe Jesus is coming? And the lady said, yeah, I believe he's coming again. She goes, you think you should be ready? She goes, yeah. She goes, well, that's what this book is about. And she says, well, then give it to me. I said, well, praise the Lord, Miss Miller, you just got a decision. It doesn't matter how old you are, how sick you are, how feeble you may be, God has a ministry for you today. But you know what? God's going to use young people. God has a work for the young people today. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the academy there, the teachers asked the students, what do you want to do this year for mission? They said, we want to have an evangelistic series. What? Yeah, we want to hold an evangelistic series. So the teacher said, okay. Start writing down names on the chalkboard who you would like to invite. And this girl raised her hand. She says, teacher, I want to invite my sister. She's an Adventist, but she goes out and still goes to the club on Friday night. And the little boy raised his hand and he says, Teacher, I want to invite my dad. He's a deacon in the church, but he still smokes. You know what? These children, they're watching us, and they're learning. But you know, if you're not careful, they're going to put your name on a chalkboard. They're going to start praying for you. It's amazing what happened. They learned how they did the special music themselves. They did the sermons. They learned the sermons. They practice in class with their classmates. And they went on opening night, 60 people came out. And only 35 were Seventh-day Adventists. At the end of those meetings, 14 people were baptized. What do you say? Does God have a work for the young people today? Yes, he does. He's got a mighty work for the young people today. It's amazing. God is calling us to do things for him. You know, God can't bless the things you don't give out, friends. If you don't hand some literature out, he can't bless it. He can't bless the prayer you don't offer, and he can't bless the encounter with your neighbor if you don't go and knock on their door. He can't bless what we don't put in his hands to do. I want to tell you a story about Ramon. Ramon lives in Brazil. Mark Finley went there to do an evangelistic series in Brazil, and the conference president said to him, Mark, I want you to meet Ramon. He has won over 1,200 people to Christ. You think Mark Finley wanted to meet him? A layperson won over 1,200 people to Christ. Mark went to meet him. He wanted to know how he did it. He got to talking to Ramon, and he said, "Ramon, how did you do it?" And he said, "It was easy, Pastor Finley. I did this, and I did this." And Mark's like, "What are you talking about?" He says, "Yes. I want you guys to practice with me. Okay, practice this with me. Go like this. Do this. Come on. I'm not going to start a liberal movement here. Come on, work with me. Come on now. This is what Ramon was telling Pastor Finley. He won 1,200 people doing this. Now, come on. Do this. Do this. And do this. Come on. One more time. This, this, and this." Mark Finley looked at him and says, "Ramon, what are you talking about?" And let me tell you, Ramon's a midget. Okay? And he said, "Pastor Finley, what I do is I smile a lot. I invite people to my house, and then I put in your CD, your DVD. I put it in like that, and then I do that." Can you do that, friends? Can we do that as a church body? Amen. God has a work for us to do. He cannot bless the DVDs and the CDs sitting on your shelf, friends. Invite your neighbors. Have popcorn night. I don't know what you're going to do, but invite somebody over. Don't eat a meal alone. Invite a neighbor. Invite a friend. Invite a family member. We have so much at our hands for witnessing. We're left without excuse. God has a plan. Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." He wants to give you a deep, wonderful experience with him this year in winning a soul to Christ. Please turn with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. God uses ordinary people. He uses ordinary methods and ordinary moments. You know, Jesus didn't plan his witnessing very much. He just went out and did things. He encountered a woman at the well, Zacchaeus in the tree, Matthew the tax collector, Peter at the fishing nets. You know, he used ordinary moments to win people to Christ, to encounter them. Here in John chapter 12, starting with verse 20, and it says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came to worship at the feast. And the same came therefore to Philip, which was a Bethesda of Galilee, and desired him, saying, 'Sir, we would see Jesus.'" And what's Philip do? Verse 22, Philip goes and he comes and he tells Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip, they go and they take him to Christ. We constantly see Andrew taking people to Jesus. And people are won for his kingdom. Today, hearts are open, friends. There are people waiting for us to encounter them. I met a couple back in Michigan at Lowe's. I do building, used to. Now God has given me a new calling, amen? And so I met this lady at Lowe's and I actually met the guy working there, and he started doing Bible studies with us. And then he told a co-worker, and she came and started doing Bible studies with us. And after the first study, she said, "Can I bring my husband?" "Well, yeah, you sure, you bet." After about a year studying with them, Richard and Diane, they were both baptized. Now Richard is heading up the prison ministry program while we are out here. His wife is very much involved in Pathfinders. And it's amazing. It just started with an encounter talking to somebody at Lowe's over some nuts and bolts I was looking for. God is opening hearts, and there's opportunity. Today, friends, will you be fair with God? Will you be fair with God? Will you say, "Lord, will you give me a divine appointment?" How many would like a divine appointment this week and throughout the year? A divine appointment to win somebody to Christ. You know, every day when I get up, I think about what's happening in our world. There's 10 major wars going on in our world today where more than 1,000 people a year die. It's heartbreaking. Probably an average of one in every four people in our country suffer from some type of depression. In this country alone, every year, about 4,700 to 4,800 youth die from homicide between the ages of 10 and 24. That's 13, friends, 13 every day in this country die from murder. More than our military personnel are dying in the field. Every 12 to 15 seconds, somebody dies from starvation or malnutrition in the world, more than 9 million people. There's people going down to a Christless grave all around us, and God has given us a message of hope. Will you answer the call? In Bosnia, June 8, 1995, Scott O'Grady had waited 6 days. He had been praying and waiting for rescue. His F-16 was shot down. And in 20 seconds, he ejected. He landed, and the enemy went out to capture him. In minutes, Serbian troops surrounded him, but they couldn't find him. He put his face in the dirt, and he ate ants and grass. He drank water from his drenched socks. The whole support system was gathered together. A naval force, 40 planes were sent out. Everything was garnered for this one soldier, one person. As he cried out, "I'm still alive. Please send someone. Please help me." I want to invite my wife to come up. She's going to sing a song. And I ask that you just listen to the words and ask the Lord to speak to your heart.
Lord, lay some soul upon my heart, and love that soul through me, and may I bravely do my part to win that soul for thee. Some soul for thee, some soul for thee, this is my earnest plea. Help me each day on life's highway to win some soul for thee. Lord, lead me to some soul in sin, and grant that I may be endued with power and love to win that soul, dear Lord, for thee. Some soul for thee, some soul for thee, this is my earnest plea. Help me each day on life's highway to win some soul for thee, to win that soul. For thee alone will be my constant prayer, that when I've reached that great white throne, I'll meet that dear one there. Some soul for thee, some soul for thee, this is my earnest plea. Help me each day on life's highway to win some soul for thee.
Friends, what if that was your brother behind enemy lines? What if that's your sister in that home struggling with depression and anxiety? What if it's your mother or father struggling with circumstances in life, overwhelmed, but yet don't know Christ? What if that was you? Would you want somebody to come? Would you want somebody to knock on your door? You know, if I've done door-to-door this last year, I can't tell you how many times somebody's come to the door and have said to us, I was just praying. I was just asking the Lord, please send somebody to help me understand your word. Today I want to make an appeal to you, friends. I don't know what God is calling you to. I don't know what ministry he's calling you to. But one thing I do know, he's calling you. Because you became a member of this church through a message that was ordained for the times in which we live. And when you were baptized, you had made a commitment to win somebody to Christ. You know, when Jesus said, pray for more laborers in the field, it's interesting, after he told them to pray, he said, go. He told them to go. Today, this isn't a general appeal for everybody, it's personal. If you would like to say, Lord, put a burden on my heart for a soul. If you want to get involved in some ministry, I don't know what it may be. Mission College has training again starting in a couple weeks. Would you stand and say, Lord, I want to win a soul for you this year. Just one soul for you this year. Lead me to somebody who is crying out to know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom you have sent. Let's pray. Loving Father, you see those standing here today. They stand because they're saying, Lord, convict me of what you'd have me do. But I want to do something for you. And perhaps there are people standing here today that already have a ministry and are saying, Lord, expand my ministry. I want it to increase. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know with you all things are possible. So I ask, Father, your Holy Spirit will come down upon all those standing here today. And those that are still sitting, that are not quite sure what they would do, Lord, please continue to encourage and strengthen them that they can be a part of winning a soul to you. We ask your blessing now, Father. May your holy angels lead and guide us to those precious souls in this community that you have died for, that we may live. In Jesus' name, amen.